One of Charles Dickens' most famous protagonists is from his novel, A Christmas Carol. At the novel's outset, we read of the essence of Ebenezer Scrooge's character when Dickens writes, "Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge, a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner, hard and sharp as flint, from which no steel had ever struck out generous fire, secret and self-contained and solitary as an oyster." Scrooge embodies St. Augustine's concise definition of sin, incurvatus in se, which means a life lived inward for oneself rather than outward to God and to others. You see, Scrooge was a man who was consumed by himself. And not only was he consumed by himself, that he wanted to consume everyone else and make their lives as miserable as his own. When his nephew Fred comes to greet him and says, "Merry Christmas, Uncle," the hardened man replies, "Every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should." As the novel unfolds, over a very disturbed sleep of Christmas Eve, Scrooge is visited by the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. During these hours, a profound conversion happens in the life of Ebenezer. And when he awakes on Christmas morning, Dickens captures the change in the most vivid of prose. "I don't know what to do," cried Scrooge, laughing and crying in the same breath. "I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy as a drunken man. A Merry Christmas to everybody and a Happy New Year to the whole world. Hoo-hoo!" And then a few paragraphs later, we read, "Really, for a man who had been out of practice for so many years, it was a splendid laugh, a most illustrious laugh, the father of a long, long line of brilliant laughs. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what month it is," said Scrooge. "I don't know how long I've been among the spirits. I don't know anything. I'm quite a baby. Never mind. I don't care. I'd rather be a baby. Whoop, hello here." Through that long night, the spirits had been to Scrooge what the messenger of Isaiah had been so many centuries earlier, when in our first reading we heard these words, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace and brings good tidings of good." As Scrooge examined his conscience by the assistance of those three ghosts, good tidings of good were proclaimed to him. And so something else that Isaiah said became evident in his life. "Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem." Think of his life. The waste places of a life that had been turned in on itself became an oasis of joy and purpose on that Christmas morning. And Scrooge, rather than living his life in convertus in se, turned inward, began to live his life outward for God and for others. And at the very end of A Christmas Carol, Dickens pens these words. "It was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us and of all of us." In 1843, when A Christmas Carol was published, Charles Dickens issued an invitation to you and to me, living all of these years later, to keep Christmas well. And in the prologue of John's Gospel, even more famous than A Christmas Carol, this is the exact same thing that the apostle invites us to do. To keep Christmas well means that, like Ebenezer Scrooge, we are allowing our lives to be converted. We are being turned away from that inward gaze and turned upward to God and outward to others. Scrooge epitomizes a life that experiences true conversion. And there is perhaps no writer in the English language better at this than Charles Dickens. The conversion of his characters is one of the most remarkable things that you see in his novels. And what happens in the life of a person who allows for this conversion to take place? Well, St. John in the Gospel put it so vividly and famously when he said, "The Word became flesh and lived among us." And that's what happened to Ebenezer Scrooge on that Christmas Eve. The Word became flesh, and his heart of stone was broken, and it started to become a heart of flesh. This beautiful phrase, "The Word became flesh and lived among us," in the Greek, when it says "became flesh," the Greek word can be best translated into English by the word "tabernacled." The word "tabernacled among us." In other words, God in Christ pitched his tent in this world. He came to dwell amongst men and women. He knows what it is to be fully human. He knows what it is to experience hard-hearted people like Ebenezer. He knows what it is to see the conversion in the lives of those who turn from self to him and then to others. He's like us in every way except for sin. And here's the beautiful thing about our faith. God loves us so much that he wants to not only tabernacle with us in our hearts, but he left us the Eucharist. And he left us a tabernacle in every Catholic church worldwide. He dwells among us right now, right here in this place. And the wonderful thing that happens in the life of a person who truly undergoes conversion is they come to a realization that Jesus wants to dwell in my heart. And to dwell in my heart means that he wants to change me. He wants me to move more and more into that place where I truly affirm that God is with me, that God is within me. But beloved, here is the thing. Each and every one of us has to make a choice. And the tragedy is, most people miss the tabernacle of God. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that's what happened to Ebenezer Scrooge on that Christmas Eve. He was on that night born of God. Do you truly in your life recognize Christ? Are you attentive to his presence? Or may you say, "I come to Mass on Christmas Day because that's a good thing to do, but the rest of my year I'll kind of live my own way on my own terms according to my own agenda." Or are we truly as a people here today saying, "I want the incarnate Christ to dwell in my heart. I want to receive him more fully." Because, beloved, we've all been given the gift of our baptism. But the thing about our baptism is the following. We can either appropriate it and be changed by it, or we can, like so many did when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, pass him by. In the liturgy of baptism, there's this beautiful prayer that the minister of the sacrament prays over the person before they're baptized, and it's called the prayer of exorcism. And it goes like this. "Almighty and ever-living God, you sent your only Son into the world to cast out the power of Satan, spirit of evil, to rescue man from the kingdom of darkness. And that's what happened to Ebenezer Scrooge. He was rescued on that night from the kingdom of darkness. And what happened? He was brought into the kingdom of the splendor of the Son of God. We pray for this child. Set him or her free from original sin. Make him or her a temple of your glory, and send your Holy Spirit to dwell with him or her. Did you hear that? God came and tabernacled amongst us, and he's in that tabernacle. But the church says that each one of us is to be a temple of his glory. Isn't that remarkable? To think that is our purpose, that is the intention of our lives. You and I are to be living tabernacles who know that we are sons and daughters who have been born of God. When we receive Jesus day by day, he delivers us from a life lived inward for oneself so that we can be liberated to live outward for God and for others. Charles Dickens' story is a Christmas classic because it expresses as a story what St. John in his prologue puts in poetry. Isn't it beautiful to think about this, that our faith is expressed in so many different artistic forms? Poetry, literature, music, art. Why is this? It's because it's true. It is the gospel of God, that power that can truly change our lives. So may I invite you to remember that there are 12 days of Christmas. It goes until the Feast of the Epiphany, the 6th of January. May I invite you to keep Christmas well. May you perhaps watch Alistair Sims, A Christmas Carol. May you perhaps read the novel. And by the gift of the brilliance of Dickens's writing, meditate on the meaning of the nativity of Jesus Christ, so that it will be said of you and of me and of us here at St. Peter's. It was always said of those people at St. Peter's Calgary that they knew how to keep Christmas well.